Today is January the 5th, 2012. This is, the time is 7:34 a.m. This is Sylvania City Council Committee of the Whole. In attendance, Todd Milner, Mike Brown, Katie Capellini, Doug Hanum, Sandy Hussman, Mark Lukey, Mary Westfall. From Sylvania Township, we have Chairman of the Trustees, John Genowine, and we also have Trustee Neil Mahoney. From the administration, Mayor Stahl, Jim Moan, Bill Sanford, George Eichenauer, Bill Rudis, and Kevin Aller. The purpose of these committees of the whole, which we've decided to have every month this year, is to continue to review and monitor our 2012 budget and prepare for our 2013 budget in anticipation of the large cuts that we're expecting from the state of Ohio. I want to say that we need to, I don't want these to just be meetings where we talk. We need to, and we're not going to solve everything today, but we need to come out with some constructive ways as a result of these meetings this year to prepare to cut the budget in anticipation of the cuts that we're facing. The first thing this morning, this meeting, we decided to talk about community programming. And I should say that I'd like this meeting to be 1 hour. And starting off, I'd like to invite Mr. Genowine and Mr. Mahoney from the township to come up and talk about their philosophy with community programming. As I talked with John and Neil yesterday, we're all in this thing together. They're facing the same cuts that we're facing. And so I appreciate them being here very much. And if you fellows would like to come forward and just talk about your philosophy of community programming.
John Genowine with Sylvania Township. You know, when I first came on the board 2 years ago, we had multiple requests, as I'm sure you guys get, for funding of the nonprofits. It is a basic philosophy of mine that I had a hard time giving away taxpayer dollars to charitable organizations, as worthy as they were and as good of causes as they did in the community. I still just had a hard time giving, you know, taxpayer dollars that you either get put in jail if you don't pay, or you get your property taken away if you don't pay. You know, letting the three trustees up there distribute that money to charitable organizations, you know, was not my, I just had a serious issue with it. After looking at it a long time and discussing it with the other two trustees, you know, those organizations really did depend on that money, and it was kind of unfair to cut it out at one time. So we set a budget of $30,000, and that was about 80 to 90% of all the requests that we had. So we were just kind of picking and choosing, and if they requested $12,000, we might give them 10 or something along those lines. And then we distributed that 30 grand, and each of the 2 years that I've been there, we, you know, continuously remind these organizations that, you know, we are cutting back, and next year you probably won't get as much. So look at other sources of funding. I mean, in terms of charity and nonprofits, I believe it starts and ends with the individual. And, you know, as an elected official, I certainly have stepped up my personal giving to these organizations. And, you know, but it's difficult as we all get letters in the mail of very worthy causes. I mean, I had a mother-in-law pass away from MS, and we all have our certain charities that we promote and try to do. But, you know, in terms of the ones that have a direct impact on the Sylvania community, I look at Sylvania Area Family Services and SCAT and DARE and those sort of things, and they're all very worthy causes. But, you know, I just don't believe it's in the government's interest to be funding those organizations. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
John, I guess maybe you are here more because of my interest than anybody else's, at least from an outspoken standpoint. Help us think about this, because this is really the issue the council is having to grapple with. We get the same requests, right? We ask Scott Smith, our finance director, to do a comparison between what the city has traditionally been funding these organizations at and what you are. And, you know, in every case, we are three or four times greater contributors to these organizations than you, while we have a population that's two-thirds less, right? So I guess the question becomes, if we adopt your philosophy, and I'm not suggesting we are, but, you know, certainly it could be on the table, what happens to these organizations? Because, you know, I think we can all agree that they provide important services to Sylvania, correct? So I don't want to get it down to the conversation that, you know, we question whether we're doing too much or the township's not doing enough. But I think it's a service delivery issue kind of philosophically to begin with, and then more practically the impact that it has. I mean, if we stop funding, if we start funding the Sylvania Community Services proportionally at the level that you fund them, they would end up, I suspect, getting a substantial decrease in their overall funding. You know, we'd go from 30,000 to, you know, 10 or 8 or 7, you know, and down the line with the Chamber and the Arts Commission and the CIC and so on. So I guess we're needing some help, not just, I understand what you're saying. I mean, it's a philosophical approach, and I respect that. But together, as two governments, how do we deal with maintaining these organizations if we're going to, you know, if we're going to cut their funding as you have?
Well, as an elected official, I'm sure you're very capable of raising money. So, I mean, I would suggest that maybe we put together some sort of fundraiser that, you know, we each get out and push hard. At least that puts the burden on the individuals rather than the government entity. You know, I mean, I went round and round with Carol Contrada on the same issue, that, you know, her philosophy is that the government should step in, there should be safety nets, and those are all true. But again, I just have a hard time giving out taxpayer dollars to a charitable organization, no matter how good it does. And there's no doubt these organizations are utilized and even more so important in today's economy. But I think the burden should fall on us as individuals rather than, you know, letting us three trustees sit up there feel good handing out someone else's money. And we're facing the same budgets, and I've always been one that wanted to have a very consistent message. So if you're sitting down to negotiate with labor unions or the administrator, I mean, it's all, hey, it's about the dollars. We don't have very many. We've got to be conservative. And it's very difficult because all of them have different funds and different monies available. But I want to make a very consistent message that, you know, we want to be tight with the dollar, and I certainly applaud the city of Sylvania over the years when you've given the tax breaks to your residents when you could afford to. And, you know, that's something that the township, we don't have the tax revenue that you guys do. And, you know, an income tax is a much more equitable way to tax somebody, because you get them when they're having a great year, you get a little bit more, and on a year when it's a little lean, you know, so is the taxes. But at the township, you know, we only have the property tax, and it's starting to become an issue where people aren't looking to Sylvania Township to build anymore because the taxes are too high. And, you know, so, and it is difficult because, again, they're all separate funds, they're all separate entities on your property tax bill, but when you add them all up, I mean, many of the residents in Sylvania Township are paying, you know, $8,000-$9,000 a month in property taxes, and that just gets, you know, people are now looking at, that's why they're looking in Monclova at Perrysburg Township and things. So, I mean, that's one of the main reasons I got into the government was to, again, you can't stop anything, but you can certainly try to curb it and slow it down, and again, with the least amount of interruption of services.
Going back just to the community programs question for a minute, a process question, again, from the standpoint of us, I think, trying to take a cue from how you might have done it. Did you do any kind of individual assessment of each of these organizations, or did you just do an across-the-board assessment?
No, we asked each organization to come in and provide us kind of an update in terms of what they do as a whole, and then what they plan to do with the money that we contribute. And then we kind of just based, on the need and the payback to the community is how we kind of did it. And Sylvania Area Family Services obviously rose to the top of that list, and I believe they get the majority, about a third of what we donate in total goes to them, $10,000, I think.
Yeah. Was that to any degree linked to the fact that you're participants in the diversion program? Because, I was on the board there when, at one point, the townships, before your time, stepped away from funding that at all. And I think the consequence that we had talked about then was to, not give you all a free ride on the diversion program.
No, it wasn't an impact in my decision making. I was not really aware of it. I am aware of the diversion program and things it does, great work over there. It really was Carol and I got together, and after a lengthy period, we agreed to disagree, and then we agreed, worked out an agreement that, hey, this is an equitable settlement, because, what was starting to happen was I was voting no on all of them, and the other two were voting yes. So I was kind of looking like the Grinch, and, the other two got to pat themselves on the back for giving away someone else's money. So then we kind of came up with, well, if we at least just set a maximum goal, then you could kind of distribute it to whoever warrants it most.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions?
I could just call them all.
Andy?
I do have one. We've been given some numbers, and you mentioned the figure $30,000 that you have set aside, and the numbers we're giving when I add them up is a little over $21,000. Maybe there's some other smaller donations that...
Neil brought it this morning. We gave $10,000 to the Sylvania Area Family Services, $3,000 to the SCAT, $2,000 to the Arts Commission, $4,000 to the OSU Extension, $2,000 to the Lucas County Soil and Water, and $8,500 to the fireworks.
And then
35 grand to CIC.
6,000.
What was it? 6,000. Sorry to interrupt. 6,000 to CIC. Okay. Are there any other questions for Mr. Genowine? Mr. Mahoney?
It's Neil, by the way.
Neil, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Not to bore you with any of these thoughts, but just what we did last year was my first meeting with the budgets, and we asked a list of questions, and then last night at our trustee meeting, I wanted the administrator to ask, we want the questions that we asked them to come back, because they haven't given us an answer from last year. For example, in our budget for next year, we're looking at putting a land use plan together, and our budget was $30,000. So when TMACOG was up last year, I said, we're going to give you this money for TMACOG. Can you tell me a little bit about what your operations are about? And what I'm getting at with this is, ironically enough, they have a department that writes a land use plan. And I said, gee whiz, why are we hiring an outside independent consulting company for $30,000 when we're paying these guys for, and we can help offset that? So what we're going to try to do as an example of helping TMACOG is we've saved some money in our operating budget, our budgeting in the zoning department, by utilizing TMACOG and the Lucas County Planning Commission to help offset the cost of our land use plan that we, I don't know if we'll get done this year or next year. So, and the other thing, not to sound ungrateful, because I know a lot of SCAT, like Deb Cheney has said, or maybe Sylvania Erie Family, Mike, is that they get federal funding, so you got to be kind of careful, because they're not just like our roads department. If we get a grant, we have to kick money in, but the grant is kind of the same way. What I think is that these people get, these association groups get funding that they need us to help. And so how do we help bridge that gap? And I look at a lot like our churches, or for me in the Catholic Church, is helping maybe more partnership with you guys, and what John mentioned was a great idea. How about us having a fundraiser for Sylvania Area Family Services? I mean, 10 grand isn't a whole lot of money to raise. And I'd be more than happy to help assist you guys in partnering with the association. I mean, Mary, you know how it works with Coleman. I mean, and I know how it works at Christ the King. And we have, there's no money coming anywhere. So I think if we could be an arm to them, and again, talk is cheap, we'd have to really, really, you know, do it. But I think we could help Ty and look more of a community and more of a partnership and helping these associations, not associations, but you know what I'm talking about, try to do a better job of helping raise money. For example, I know Sylvania Family Services, Keith Walker took control of gift giving. I think they had one of the best gift givings they've ever had this year. The Walker family got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to give Christmas gifts. We got a party for the first senior family services afterwards. And again, going back to the private side, I think there's a lot of untapped areas that we can take supplement and help. You know, we're hurting you, but we're also coming back and trying to make you guys survive and help you survive. So, sorry if I was too winded or it didn't make any sense there, but thanks for having us.
Any questions for Neil?
I think you make an interesting point on the fundraising concept. I'm not sure that city council's role to launch that, it maybe to participate in something, those are really things that need to be driven by their boards of directors.
No question.
I don't think that's something that it would be our role to take on. I just would put that on the table. I mean, certainly we can talk about that, perhaps
Sure. Serve
on committees, perhaps assist them in some way, but as a council, I don't know that that's our responsibility to drive their fundraising events. I just make that as a point about.
No, I understand. I think, aren't you guys on the board anyways, for the most part? I mean, I know Mike's on Sylvania.
We have representation on.
Right, yeah. Okay, so that would all the more why, then, why if you're on the board, then they're expecting you to be on the board to do those kind of things, but not personally, but as a group, and not asking you as council as a whole.
I think we all do participate in some.
Oh, I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying, I think you could take it to another level. I think we all can, not personally or just as a whole. I know where you're coming from. I understand.
Well, we'll look forward to the great things that you put forth from the township. Sounds like you've got a great idea, so we'll watch you carefully and see how you move forward with this fundraising concept. I think it's very.
Well, I'm not saying I brought it as an idea. I'm not saying that. I brought it as an idea, as a possible opportunity to work. I didn't.
And I think John brought it first as well. So.
I'm on Family Services board, and I have tried to do some of that. Like when we have the car shows downtown,
mm-hmm.
we allow Family Services to run the 50-50 raffle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can only allow them to do that at one of the car shows because the other one we serve alcohol. And you can't have gambling, so we have to eliminate the 50-50 raffle at the one we have in July. But on the one we have in May, we do that. And, it was a lot of work for everyone, and they raised like maybe $1,200.
Right.
It's very difficult, other than getting private donations from, corporations and stuff like that. But to try to have a fundraiser, the dollars we're talking, you're not going to raise those kind of dollars through fundraisers. You're going to raise those through
private sector.
Your contacts in the private sector.
I agree, and I bring that side of it up is if Sylvania Area Family Services would have charged $100 a plate at the dinner that they had 2 months ago, instead of 150 people in there that were there for free. I'm not saying I don't know Sylvania Area Family Services, and I'm not trying to be a know-it-all because I don't. But I look at that as like, okay, I sat there, I'm like, wow, here's a nice little fundraiser. You're right, $10 a ticket.
Well,
on Main Street.
That fundraiser raised, boy, I don't know if this is correct or not, but I think they raised close to $5,000.
Okay, I stand corrected then. I just, when I looked around, I saw a lot of folks that were, like folks like ourselves that were there. Okay. Okay, well, again, I'm just throwing things out. This is the last thing I'm not trying to know it all either. You agree, John? I'm not trying to.
No,
I'm just trying to.
We were here.
Just trying to manage our money as best we can with this thing.
you know, I think we're all here because we're facing budget cuts. If you're not willing to, you know, and again, this is the pimple on the 800-pound gorilla's rear end. So, I mean, it's nice things to do for the community, but I think we all have bigger issues to grapple with than the giving. And again, $30,000 on a $24 or $27 million budget, again, it is nothing to us, but... You know, but we don't have any money. After a $24, $27 million, we're still broke. So, you know, if it makes everyone feel good to hand out someone else's money, that's one thing, but it's totally against my philosophy as a person and as a taxpayer to let someone else hand away my money, and I don't even get credit for it, you know. So that's my philosophy, Mary. And I know you're very active and very out there in the charitable organizations, and I certainly applaud you for that, and I applaud anybody who gets involved in those things. I mean, it all takes time.
Well, I think you've all made some very valid points, and I really value your coming tonight, because certainly that's how we all find more heads thinking about this, the better solutions we can come up with. I do need to process a little bit some of the things you've said, John. I'm not sure that I see this as a giving piece. I think this has got something more significant to do with the services that these organizations deliver to our community. And is our community in need of these services? Without these services, would our community have some unnecessary risks that would put our citizens' safety or other issues, basic livelihood, at risk? I think those are the issues we're dealing with. I don't think we're looking at these as just gifts, like I am now taking taxpayer money and making a choice of how to give that like I would with my own personal income. That certainly is not my role. I don't think that any of my other council members and partners would feel that this is a generous donation. I think it's got everything to do with the services and the quality of living in our community and supporting our own. So again, I do need to process that concept of giving that you've presented, but I don't think it's about making a donation of our taxpayers' money. It's about providing services in our community that make our community the kind of place that our citizens want to live and stay. So that's my thought process at this moment. And thank
I know
you.
In the township, it has nothing in our charter or in our existence about helping charitable organizations. I mean, we provide fire protection, police protection, and roller. And anything above and beyond that is, you know, above and beyond. And I view it as a charitable organization. And the least amount I can tax the residents of Sylvania Township, then they are at will to donate whatever extra money they have to the organizations they feel need to.
John, you do make a good point. You can just drive out Sylvania Metamora and look at these subdivisions and look at all the empty lots. They're just sitting there. So it's very, and we've talked about this before in City Council, the competition that our community faces. I'm not in real estate, but I understand Perrysburg Township's going crazy as far as building, and so I understand what you're saying as far as the total taxes that a resident has to pay, because we are in competition with these other communities.
That's something that I continue to ask is, you know, what is Perrysburg and what is Maumee doing? Because that is our competition. And, you know, if you don't view it that way, then you're foolish. And, you know, one of the best examples I can use of that is Bob Elmer. You know, he said Lourdes used to be a private institution and their tuition was phenomenal. But when they looked at who was looking at going to Lourdes College, you know, it was, the choices were between Toledo and, you know, Owens and Bowling Green. So they had to shift that mentality and go with what the competition was. And if you continue to just put yourself in isolation and think that, well, this is Sylvania and we've always been an affluent community, you're probably not going to survive. And you really have to see what's out there and how are they doing it. And again, just in our conversation yesterday, Todd, I think you and I came up with three or four things that it'd be great to continue to open these conversations up so we do walk down the same path together. And, you know, because it's something, you know, the big thing for us is obviously labor negotiations. And our labor forces are talking to your forces and, you know, who sets the bar and
So, I mean, if we kind of did come at this as a united front, even though we are two separate communities, you know, I think it could only be beneficial to the community as a whole. And, you know, I certainly welcome it. And by you guys even inviting us here, it certainly is opening the door, and hopefully this type of communication will continue.
Looking at what's coming from the state of Ohio next year, the cuts, and as you look at your crystal ball this year, where do you see you attacking your budget to get ready for the budget cuts for 13?
I mean, we're looking at everything. Honestly, I mean, we've got a fantastic administrator in there, and I mean, if it's a simple eliminating subscriptions and things to magazines or whatever, I mean, it's a $3,500 there, you know, 10 grand here. We're looking heavily, and again, I think I've approached many members of council on this. We're looking at heavily on how do we dispose of our yard waste. I mean, it's a huge issue, and just last night, I mean, that's a $360,000 issue for us. So, you know, we're looking to cut back there. You know, if somebody retires in one of our departments, we're going to have to look long at replacing them and how we replace it. Certainly in the safety forces, we've got, you know, our hands are somewhat more tied there, but, you know, nothing's off the table at the township, and we're continuing, and it's probably the last thing you want to do, but certainly there's going to be layoffs at the township this year, I'm fairly certain of it. So,
Neil, since you're in the title business, I just wonder if you could talk a little bit as far as what we were talking about regarding growth in Lucas County, Wood County. Do you see that happening where people are tending to go to other parts of this area due to tax structures? As far as buildings, as far as houses, do you keep any? Does your company keep any statistics on that?
No, we don't. I think, you know, it sounds arrogant on my part, but I think a lot of folks might use that as a tool to use it against you to get a better deal on a lot or get a better deal on a building of a house. I think generally speaking, I think people really want to be out here, and it's where you grew up at. It's a wonderful place to live. It's, you know. But I think, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, just good, smart growth and planning and, as I said to the mayor, how nice is it to come off of Monroe Street and have you guys welcome the city of Sylvania? I mean, you get off on Central Avenue under the township and your welcome signs, the KFC sign. I mean, it looks terrible. I mean, so I think internally we've got a lot of issues to look at with our zoning and signs and to try to make it more inviting into the township. I mean, personally, I want to protect Sylvania Avenue that you get off of Talmadge Road. And there's a couple of vacant lands on the city of Toledo that I think that I'm talking to some of the folks at council over there that this isn't a very good opportunity. This isn't a very good way because there's really no gateway into the township. There's no entryway in here. And I just don't want to muddy things up. And I think if we can do really good, smart planning, and I think that's what we've seen, like in Perrysburg Township, and I think you've seen it in, well, Montclair really doesn't count, but I think Springfield's kind of has and does. I think they could be doing a better job of zoning and planning. And I think, generally speaking, there's still people that really want to come out of Sylvania. We can't mess it up. And our business has picked up, thank heavens. I've made less money than they've made the last 5 years. This year it's not too bad. So I think we're picking up, and commercially we're starting to see some activity. And a lot of our zoning is infill. You know, it's not, you're right, it's not the stuff that's out. And that's why I've talked to a few of these regarding fire stations and all those kind of things. I'm not sure it's going to be going out that way for years. But infill, good smart growth, kind of your SOMO projects, kind of redoing things that are internally good infrastructure. So that. Sorry, if that's a long-winded message. I didn't answer your question. I apologize.
Well, no, I just wondered if the perception is correct that what I've heard. That
what we did, what we actually got, we bought a program last year called Benchmarking, and we're launching it this year through the township. And what it is we're now able, and I don't know if you guys have a similar program, but we're going to be able to look at not only a line item for donations throughout the state, but we're going to be able to dial into every department throughout the state through this benchmarking program, so then we can track their numbers and make sure that we are on pace and we are doing things correctly and that where our budget numbers are lining in correctly.
So this is a comparison program to other townships?
Other townships.
Municipalities.
Municipalities, everybody. It's called benchmarking. And we've just launched it. We've been working on it for the last 6 months. And it's going to at least, so we can compare apples to apples. Because it's real easy to ask me a question I think maybe I don't know the answer to, but I can now, hopefully as the middle of the year progresses, we're going to be able to dial right into that and see where we're at and where we stand with regards to how we paying. Are we underpaying our fire department? Are we overpaying them? I don't know. You know, we get these lists, but we don't know how true they are and accurate. So,
Mr. Sanford, I think that would be something interesting for us to look into because I think we could. Do we have a use a program like that now?
No, nothing. I check a lot of different publications that have other communities and how you compare. Would it be interesting to follow up on what Neil's saying?
Who's doing this?
We at the township.
Yeah, the benchmarking is.
It's a software. Through, and again, I'm unlimited in the background of this, so that I know what it costs and I know what it does. But it's a software program that you're able to dial into any city, any municipality in the state of Ohio, for that matter, I think anywhere in the United States, and you can look for trends and costs. We're able to line itemize every line that allows us to. Is our leaf pickup costing more than Dayton, Springfield, Ohio, and why? And then we can make a call down there. We can get down and meet with the different townships, the different cities, and say, hey, what are you guys doing differently than we're not doing? Or maybe they'll be calling us and say, hey, what are you guys doing better than we need to be doing a better job of? So we're just launching. Like I said, we're just launching it. Jim Beck actually, Bill, has got been the sessions and. Love to share that information to you guys. Okay.
And the biggest expense for the township is our health benefits. And where we kind of first got onto this idea was our new health care broker came in and he showed where the township plan was and where it compared to other townships, other cities, the state, the federal. And we were way off the charts. And so we've made some heavy cuts there, and it's all been driven by a healthcare committee, not by the trustees saying this is how it's going to be, because all those contracts the healthcare was in their contracts, and now it's like, well, the healthcare committee decides that, but they realize that if we continue to spend this much, increases on healthcare, there's nothing left for raises. And everybody wants a raise, so we've been able to make great strides in cutting our health care costs, even though it doesn't seem like it. I mean, when I took office, we were over $1.5 million in the hole to our health care insurer. So in 2 years, we've been able to fill in that hole a little bit, and this year we actually were in the black. We still owe on that $1.5 million, but at least we didn't go deeper in that hole. And I do know one of our police officers came and joined the city's plan this year because your plan was that much better than the township's. And when you have those types of options, you're getting that adverse selection because, first off, you allow that. I mean, nowhere else in the private sector can your spouse choose to be on your plan because it's a better plan. I mean, if they're employed somewhere else, and that was one of the, we implemented that last July. Is that, if your spouse's employer offers health care, then they've got to be on that plan rather than your plan. And, again, Todd, like you're saying with contract negotiations, I mean, that gets thrown up in our face every time. It's, well, the city of Sylvania has this in their plan. So, again, it's just kind of things that, again, through better communication, we can move forward. And it is a very difficult message because nobody wants to hear that. And inevitably, it means higher costs to them. I mean, I would imagine all of you are on the city's health insurance, but if anybody is out there,
I don't think I'm there.
No, yeah. Then you know what you're dealing with.
We have jobs, Jeff.
Well, I know.
Do you have township health insurance?
Right, yes.
You are.
We have the option to buy it.
at retail, right?
But I'm not on it.
Well, we won't bring that one up till next year.
But you make a good point. I think that the more that we can work together and look at ways to share costs, I think we both entities just have to get outside the box, because we're expecting at least an $800,000 cut from the state of Ohio for next year. I think you said you're looking at the same. So the question is, I for one am not interested in raising taxes. I don't think anybody around this table is. So then what do we do? Where do we cut? So that's why we're having these sessions every month. Are there any other questions for John or for Neil?
You know, Ted, just a comment. You asked me a question that I think is really relevant about what drives or doesn't drive development out here. And I heard you say that it may not be taxes as much as some other things. I'm sure that it is taxes to some degree. I just want to share with the group some data that we collected when I was on the school board, which is now 8 years out of date. But, you know, we did some focus groups with local realtors and found that at that time, one of the biggest impediments for us dropping to third among our competitors was the condition, the physical condition of the school buildings. You know, a young family, a professional family comes through Perrysburg, and at that time, Anthony Wayne was the big other competitor, which is kind of mommy, and here, and the buildings didn't compare, you know. And as a result of that, very much to the superintendent's credit and very much to the board's credit, they put the building program together, and the buildings now look first class. But, you know, I believe I heard a couple of our realtors, folks that you know, Neil, say the curb appeal of our community was just not comparable, you know. So I think there are a lot of issues that are intangibles that drive this, and I think slowly we're making efforts to remedy those things. But I think it's sometimes those rather than the rational pieces that drive it.
I'm still amazed, though. You look at the subdivisions in the township, out there, Sylvania, 12 Lakes, the western part of the lots are unbelievable. You got a few houses sitting in there.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we all understand the economy that we've been through in the last 4 years, too. You know, it's that. I'm not sure that incrementally we're suffering more than other parts of Lucas County.
I can tell you about the outpost, because I drive through that on an almost daily basis, that there was no building last year, or maybe one house. This year there were 8 houses that went up this summer. So, you know, I hear what you're saying about 12 Lakes, but in the outpost, things are starting to move.
What's the outpost?
The Mia Conda. Where the Boy Scouts sold off the pristine land that I'm still not happy about. But,
I'm happy to talk to you about that.
But yes, I know. But so
is that sale is continuing to fund our ability, the Boy Scouts. I'm on the board, and that sale that allows us to operate camps, one that provide camping experiences to 25,000 Boy Scouts every year. That's, and those were camps that we were going to have to shut down because we didn't have the funding to maintain them and operate them. And the great thing about the sale of that outpost, we were able to take that money from that sale, put it into a trust fund, and we use that money every year to maintain our camps and continue to provide the morals and value-based program that is so important to the Boy Scouts of America.
Okay, and you want to thank me now for your ability to give that little commercial. Anyways, back to your point.
It's amazing how often I get hit about selling that outpost. And if we had not sold that outpost, Camp Mia Conda wouldn't be open today. The camp that we have, Camp Pioneer, would not be open today. We would not be able to offer those programs to this community. And you know, I understand. That was a very difficult decision, and somehow or another, I ended up becoming the spokesman for that decision.
Wonder
but it has worked out fabulously for the Erie Shores Council, the Boy Scouts of America, and for this community.
There are 8 new houses this year.
And the unfortunate part is, you know, I keep hearing that each house ends up costing the township, you know, to provide the services to them. And you sit there and you think, how in the world, because a house in the outpost there is probably paying $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a year in taxes, and yet it's costing us money. And again, how can that be? But when you look at the dollars, you know, so much of them go to TARDA, to the county, and when, you know, $51 of that goes to our general fund, and it just, you know, it's a net loser. So we've got to look at how do we provide this, and certainly with the rapid growth that we've had, you know, in the, you know, 4 years or 10 years previous to this, you know, we're still catching up. And still, you know, that rapid growth was very problematic to the township, I think.
Yeah.
So,
John, I got one other question. I don't know, maybe you or Neil, but I read in the paper a lot about Lucas County being in financial difficulty. Not only are you going to get cut by the state, is Lucas County going to cut some of your funding also?
Not that I'm aware of, but I mean, maybe you should look.
Phrase it as services. Are they going to cut back? Because the county does service a lot of the roads in the township.
Yes.
And are they going to cut back on maintenance and repairing those roads?
No. In fact, we just had this discussion at our meeting last night. There are many other communities who can't afford the matching funds, so they're not applying for those grants and things from the county. So the township is actually in a better position because we can afford them, and it's kind of moved us up on the list.
That's good.
But, you know, one of the best things we've done as when I've been on the board was we've contracted with the prosecutor's office to handle our legal work. And I mean, it cut our legal bill from about $450,000 down to $100,000. And, you know, we continue to look towards, you know, what duplication of services are out there. The one thing that I'm really interested in is this new dispatch service that the county is going to be coming out with here this June. And how can the Sylvania Township tie into it and possibly, you know, reduce our dispatch? I mean, it's certainly a duplication and things. And again, here we are, two communities wrapped around and entwined with one another, but we have two separate dispatches. And, you know, are there things that we can do that would be a win-win for everybody, and even a win-win-win if the county's involved. So, I mean, it's those types of things that hopefully we can all come together with and, you know, survive the cuts that we all are expecting and know that are going to hit us hard.
You know, Todd, I think it's this 45-minute exchange has been very productive, I think, and very helpful for me because we don't really do enough benchmarking of any kind. And it makes sense to do that with our closest government neighbor, you know. So hopefully you all will be willing to come back again and join us. It strikes me that as we go through the process, we should have outside resources every time to help us think about issues in a broader way. Because, again, I think you came up with at least 3 or 4 things that I wrote down that we need to be talking about. I'd like to have a little bit of time yet this morning to kind of discuss how we might approach the community programs piece, and so let's get them back here on other matters here.
Yeah, we all want to thank you very much for taking the time this morning to come, and we hope you'll come back again anytime, and we'll certainly invite you again so we can keep these discussions going.
Well, we have some normal representation here, so we'll just get filled in by that later.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Mark, before we do that, I'd like to go to Mary. Mary, you called me yesterday morning with some comments, some specific comments about this meeting, about this process this morning. I'd like to know if you would share those with all the members of council so we can...
Sure. Thanks, Todd. You know, I haven't thought it through too deeply, but my general sense was we should set some process in place right now for how we're going to tackle everything that we need to accomplish this year. If we're going to have monthly meetings, how do we determine what we're going to talk about at each meeting? are we just going to randomly pull out something like community programs and say that's the agenda item for the day? I don't think that feels like it's quite the productive, most productive way to accomplish the tasks. One thought that I had was that we could look to our committees to gather and look at the areas within the budget that would be affecting those committees, and then sit with the appropriate people of administration and committee members to review those things and perhaps bring some recommendations back to the committee of the whole for things that that maybe could be reduced, or questions that we need input from on the committee of the whole, something like that. Or, and Mark Lutke had suggested maybe the reverse, do we have a focus on a particular area committee at the committee of the whole level, and then refer back to the actual committee the questions that need a little bit more fleshing out, so to speak. So I really had just contacted Todd to encourage him to have a conversation today about what is the process, how do we get to next October with some solid decisions about what that budget is going to look like, rather than next October saying we've talked all year and now we're not clear about the budget. I think we've got to find a way to take it in smaller bites.
And my preference after thinking about this is I like the idea of doing the work in the committees, and this being a working session too, but I like the work of four people working together. And I don't know what everybody else thinks about that, but and surely we want to continue to have these meetings. And I don't have a problem having a theme for the meeting as far as a particular area that we're looking at. But I believe that the work should be done in the individual committees.
Well, when I was going through the budget, one of the things that I looked at was overtime and calling, okay? That's a big chunk of cash, and maybe we could take, you know, the overtime per department and the call-in per department and turn that over to the HR committee and say, okay, can we go down through this? How much of the overtime is really needed? Where is the break-even point? You know, where do we have to, if we have to hire someone to eliminate the overtime, or is part of the overtime, is it being abused? You know, I don't know by looking at the figures, but all I know is that if we cut the overtime and calling by just 10%, that's $40,000. It's a big chunk of change. And maybe turn that over to the HR committee, and they work with each one of the departments and say, okay, you know, you have this much overtime. What is really, you know, how much of it is critical to the services of the community? And how much of it can we look at to say, hey, you know, some of it's being abused. You know, human nature, people, you know, I was in business for 28 years. I know that if I offered overtime to my employees, they were going to use it because it was a way of supplementing their pay. So you have to take a hard line when it comes to overtime. That's just from my personal experiences. If we can cut our overtime in the next couple of years by, you know, 20% to 30%, we're going to be saving a significant amount of money. I think those are the kind of areas we need to look at. It's not going to affect services to the community that I can see right now. Unless you made it zero, then I think that would affect services to the community. But I think we need to look at gradual reductions in overtime and call-in time, because I'm telling you, human nature. If it's available and it's in the budget and they know it, it's going to get used. So, you know, that's one of my suggestions.
You know, Mike, I think that's a good one. And one of the things that struck me when I was listening to the folks from the township are the notion of metrics and using data that we can measure. Clearly, we have the ability to measure over time, you know, and kind of understand, I'm guessing, with our timekeeping systems and so on, where that ends up going and how it's being spent. I think there's just about everything we have in our budget can be measured in one way or another. You know, I am very curious, and this is maybe less low-hanging fruit, but I'm very curious to look at our healthcare system. The rumor, you know, the rap that the public sector gets is that we offer these Cadillac plans. I'm curious about that, and I'm curious about benchmarking healthcare with what I give at my company or other folks get at their workplaces. You know, are there savings there? Are we engaging in as much cost saving as possible? I think the lesson we've learned from the Detroit automakers and other private sector companies is that healthcare is a phenomenal burden to an employer. And so maybe we need to be able to benchmark that. I think we need to, every piece that we do should not be our gut reaction to it, but based on some data.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting you slash and burn.
Right, no, but I mean, we have, we're smarter than anybody used to be 25 years ago doing the same thing, right?
And that's why I'm very interested in this program, because I've often thought that if we can look at other communities our size.
Right. Right. Story in the paper this morning about Alaska Airlines used to be last in all performance measures. Now they're first, based on the fact that the new CEO put in every time a plane leaves, there are 50 data points that they assess to determine what, you know, how their employees are performing to get that plane off the ground on time. I mean, that's the kind of piece that we need to be thinking about here.
I'm not sure if this is the right time to bring this up as we talk about process. I'm not exactly, it's going to fit in somewhere. The parks and forestry issue, the Haroon Park, I'm wondering if this is a time to re-look at having the TOPS park system take a hand at managing it, if that's going to save us money as we're spreading ourselves a little thinner with gateway plantings and river trail plantings, and there's a big capital items budget for Haroon Park, and we have 3 minutes left in our one-hour meeting, but I'm just saying, I just wanted you to, I'm not sure where the discussion fits in, but as you plan our process, that would be a good discussion to fit into a meeting at some point.
No, that's an excellent point. I think everything needs to be on the table. I agree with Mary. What I don't want to do is I don't want to get to October, and all we've done for 10 months is talked. So I want, my goal for these monthly meetings is that we get to October and we have specific things that we want to do for the 13 budget. Now, how we get there, I'm not necessarily a process guy. So how we get there, I do like the idea of committees, because I think just human nature, again, four people working is more efficient than seven people working. So I like the idea of work being done in committees. That's why we have them.
Okay, 3 minutes to go. In October, and Mike, in October, I suggested one of the things we ought to look at is calling an overtime, and identified $816,000 of things that I thought we should look, including dues and subscriptions that Mr. Gentilwine mentioned today. We still have a lot of dues and subscriptions and conventions in this budget as well. We can talk about process. As we talk about process, another thing we ought to think about is we are currently in violation of our own established target balances for our capital account. We are committed already to spend to reduce our capital account by $857,000 to transfer into our community operating and debt reduction expenses this year. We have another $450,000 of capital expenses pending. Requests pending that we haven't dealt with. I think it would be helpful for this group to settle in on what kind of reserves do we need to have. Because we are on a path. Our current budget, if we don't change what we're doing, we're going to spend that capital fund down to zero during my next term on council. I don't think that's where we want to be. We obviously aren't serious about our current target balance, which would be, what, roughly eight, it would be 150% of our operating budget, which would be $18,000 in our capital account. We're not there. We're not going to be there. We have no no prospect of being there in the near term.
18 million.
What are we? We're projected at, we're at what, about 12 now? Scott, I haven't seen the final year in
about 14.
About 14. We'll be 12 next year. Is that what we projected?
Probably.
So, you know, if we are, I guess we can continue to spend like we are if we're comfortable spending that down to nothing. You know, the township doesn't have a capital reserve like that. City of Perrysburg doesn't have capital reserve. We're unique among you know, certainly City of Toledo doesn't have any reserve like that. And we need to decide, we need to know what that is, I think, before we have some important labor negotiations coming up this year. We need to be clear about, we need to be clear with, at least in this group, as to where we want to be before we sit down and negotiate our next round of contracts.
Doug, I remember when we went through this exercise a few years ago, it seems to me, my memory serves, that we had the bond council advise us as far as these reserves. Is it your thought that that's a good place to start?
Well, I think those target balances were set specifically with the idea that we knew we were going to be going out and borrowing a significant amount of money, and we had some resources, and a big part of that was figuring out how best to distribute the resources so we looked best to the bond market. We don't have that luxury now. Now we really, I think we need to look at our target reserve as for what do we feel comfortable having as a target reserve to be a sound operating governmental entity. I don't think we want to have a zero rainy day fund, which frankly a lot of municipalities have no rainy day fund, no capital reserve, and they just have very little to operate on. So bond council might be one thing to look at, but you know, actually I think part of this is I don't know where we look for this.
Well, yeah, I guess that's my question. What's the benchmark? What's the benchmark we should be using?
Well, that's something that I could look into, compare ourselves to other cities. And
well, also, doesn't that affect the bond rating?
Well, we're not going out for any bonds anytime soon.
We're not going to use that for the next couple of years. So, like Doug said, we set those target balances in our financial policy to make ourselves look really good. And we're not putting money to work. We got a really good rate, good bond rating.
And here's the thing I'm thinking is, we're going to go into these negotiations, and what we're going to hear back, which I heard last time we negotiated, was that because we have these reserves, we would get hammered in the binding arbitration process, and so as a result, we accepted the deal. But we knew we didn't have revenues to satisfy the obligations, because we knew that was the reality. But we had these reserves that we knew we could call on. We're going to have that same situation this time around. And if we don't have a good grasp ourselves of why we have the reserves and what our target reserves are, and we're not going to be able to represent ourselves adequately in those discussions. So I think it's important that we figure out for ourselves what do we really need to have in our capital account and in these other accounts? I'm pretty comfortable that our water and sewer account balances are operationally based. I mean, the reserves we have in those accounts are driven by that. That's not necessarily the case with the capital account. We don't have, so at least I don't have a good understanding of what those are. If I had to go to an arbiter and explain to them why we can't spend $1.5 million more than we take in next year, then we're going to lose in front of that arbiter.
So, Doug, would you think that an action step might be to ask the administration to do some benchmarking and come back with a recommendation, or how would you want to move this forward?
Yeah, that would be good. The other thing is, trying to benchmarking would be one thing, but I mean, frankly, I think when you benchmark, what you're going to find is a lot of communities have nothing.
I would say most.
Yeah. Okay. But I don't think that's your personal finance 101 says you ought to have 6 months of income in the bank before you do anything, right? Okay. Now, most municipalities haven't operated that way by necessity. You know, I don't know if for municipal governments, if there's a similar sort of standard, reserve idea out there. My guess is that what might have been a standard 25 years ago or 30 years ago might not exist today because people can't afford it. But what makes sense operationally? You know, we can look at, business models. You know, what type of working capital would a business, a well-operated business of our size have? And I think, you know, we do have business school models that we can call on for that kind of thing. And I think if we develop a sound rationale for what our reserves ought to be, then we're able to defend those and use those when we plan and budget going forward. Because I don't think we are all in agreement, we can't continue to do what we're doing, and the issue is, you know, where do we draw the line, and how quickly do we get to that point? So, Scott might be the guy, the point person, subject to the mayor's resources here. But I think we do need some guidance from administration on this, because it's something that Mark, you may know more about this as a business owner than I do as a lawyer, but around the table here we've got a lot of capability, and that's something that I think we ought to think about, knowing where we're going and what we really have to deal with. I think will help us decide what we need to do and how quickly and we need to do it.
No, I agree with that. Scott, can you start with that and report back to us at the next committee of the whole, which I want to schedule here in a few minutes. We're running a little short on time.
Couple of reactions to some things that are said. First of all, Katie, I think going back to Mary's suggestion about where the action might be better spent at the committee level, I would be very interested in having your Parks and Forestry Committee, of which I'm a part, right?
Yes.
Discuss the notion of I don't want to say outsourcing various aspects of our Parks and Forestry Department, but looking at creative ways to reduce the burden to the city and maximize the benefit to our citizens, specifically starting with the discussion about Groom Park. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense. I would be more than happy to apparently we're not going to discuss it, finish discussing it today, but we have a community relations committee meeting scheduled for the purpose of an appointment to the Board of Zoning Appeals next week or the week after. And I wouldn't mind if we have time there taking part of that to discuss these community programs. I mean, clearly, as I sat here and listened to the folks from the township, we minimally have the ability to collect some data on how many people each of these organizations serve and how they leverage the dollars that they get across the broad community. I mean, my hunch is that some of these are more of a club than a nonprofit. You know, they service 15, 20, 100 people and not the broad community. So, you know, we can certainly begin to have that discussion, Todd, if you'd like us to.
Sure, absolutely.
I think Doug's point is spot on as far as figuring out the rationale for our reserves. But in the meantime, I guess my personal goal for the year is to just make sure that our overall budget is in balance in 2013, as opposed to drawing down from any fund. You know, I mean, that's the basic rule of business. You got to make a profit, right? And in our case, we just can't let our expenses exceed our income. And if we can get to that point as an interim step to Doug's process, I think that's a good goal.
This has been very productive. Any other comments before we leave here today? Scott, you had in the phone call yesterday, you had made a suggestion about what we might want to look at the next committee of the whole, and I agree. I think that we can touch on community programs again. Can you share with council what you told me yesterday as far as the next?
Well, I thought maybe a good topic for the next meeting would be some of the capital items that we still have to make a decision on, perhaps inviting some of the folks, superintendents from the departments, to come and give you some more information about the requests so we can make a decision on those. Timing is important on some of the large purchases, so I'd like to look into those.
Council members, do you think that's a good next step?
I wonder if that should establish the process. I mean, the timing, like when, like I'm wondering if these community programs are waiting by the phone and the capital requests that you said have timing. And I mean, are there things that fit in a timing?
They have the community programs discussion early too, because they do look for their funds once the year starts.
Because that could determine the sequence of our process. If we know when these need to be paid or when these people need to know.
You know, let me ask the group a question about the community programs, because if we are going to discuss them in committee, it might be helpful to have a little guidance. My sense is that whatever we do with community programs, assuming that we have the luxury of other areas that are bigger areas to address, but how we budget, you know, healthcare perhaps being one, overtime, Mike being one, is that we look at whatever we do with community programs as a process over a couple of years. I mean, I would hate to have to go back to each of these groups and cold turkey say that for 2012 they're not getting any money, right? I think I feel more comfortable saying we're going to budget it at X this year and X minus 50% next year or something. So that they know, right, so that they know that 3 years out we're not going to help them as much as we've helped them now. I mean, is that a logical way to approach it?
I think so.
And I'm sure they'll understand, since we're getting the cuts from the state, it's just cuts on down the line.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting even, you know, I hate to give Mr. Genoway credit for radicalizing my thinking, but, you know, maybe we do need to start this year with a little bit of a pullback, and but make the big impacts be 2-3 years out.
And what's the best way? So your thought is that each one of these community programs, we tackle that discussion in committee. Is that what you're?
Yeah. What I'm saying is, if the committee of the whole is comfortable with that direction of maybe a 3-year soft landing for some of these folks, we can begin to have a discussion at the committee level around that approach.
Okay. Does everybody like that idea?
But with the idea that we'd come back next time with maybe some specific recommendations for this year. Because Katie, that's what you're talking about, right? These people are waiting by the phone to know what their 2012 budget's going to look like. Yeah, okay. So I think we owe it to them that by early February, we at least have a specific set of ideas about that.
Okay. And what committee will we accomplish that in?
Community Relations.
Okay, okay, all right. Sounds good.
And we'd need, I mean, I would propose adding that to our discussion, therefore everybody's invited, the next time we meet, which is in a couple, whenever it is. I think next Thursday, maybe.
Any other, does everybody like the idea as far?
The capital piece.
Capital piece for the next, meeting is good. I'm looking at Friday, February the 17th as a possibility.
In the morning, though. Can we do it earlier, like the 10th?
Yeah, Friday the 10th, 7:30 in the morning. I'm sure that's not a problem for you, so.
Seven thirty on the 10th.
Yeah. Does that work for everybody?
Mark, I'd just comment, you know, you have your meeting scheduled for your committee on the 12th of January.
Yeah.
Which was really not necessarily going to impact the administration because you were just going to be going over your recommendations for where you wanted to go with the that particular appointment. If you're going to have input from the city's administrative staff, that's our retreat day.
And the community programs?
And community programs. If you want to move without, that's fine. I just want to point out that that's a retreat day.
Okay. Okay, Mary can't be here. All right, well, look.
We're good for Friday the 12th?
No.
Or Friday the 10th?
We got a couple things. Friday the 10th, I think that's in February, right?
February the 10th, yes.
Yeah. So we'll just deal with the appointments on the 12th, and I'll schedule a meeting separately to deal with the community programs. If that's where you want to have it be.
Yeah, I know. I think that's a good place to, the right place.
We can do that now, I guess. If someone will pass that on to Margie. Suggestion would be Tuesday the 17th, either in the morning or the afternoon. Or, are you all off on Martin Luther King Day? Does it matter?
I cannot be here until that following week, so.
What week?
The week after the week of the 22nd.
Oh, January.
Yes. I don't need to be here, but I would like
well,
to.
Well, yeah, I mean, if we don't do it in committee and make a committee of the whole, it's not pointless to do it that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think one person from the administration should be there and other members of the council.
And I don't sit on your committee. So.
Yeah, so that's Sandy, Katie, right, me and
Mike and you.
Can you guys do it on the 17th in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Our mayor, can we have somebody from the administration? Maybe go or you.
Tuesday the
17th? Yes. At 8.
You get an extra half hour of sleep.
Smoke them if you got
So, the one on the 12th is being canceled?
No. That's the committee of the whole. That's this group.
No, January.
Oh, okay.
So, what I have is we are meeting as a committee on the 8th to talk about the appointment to the Board of Zoning Appeals. We're meeting on the 17th to talk about community programs.
Okay.
And then we're meeting in February.
Yeah, February the 10th, Friday.
Well, you know, right, Mary just made a great point. Let's just deal with the appointment on the 17th. We'll cancel the meeting.
Yeah,
that's smart. Thank you very much.
So the 12th, January 12th meeting is canceled.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Okay, I thank you all very much. The time is 8:47 p.m. We've had a good session. Is there anything else before we adjourn? If not, we stand adjourned at 8:48 a.m. Thank you very much.